I want to call your attention to a word that speaks much to my heart. And each time God has spoken to me, and I trust spoken to you also, Ezekiel in chapter 3, verse 17. Ezekiel was sent to speak, to warn, and exhort the exiles as they camped on the banks of the river Cheba. And it says in verse 14, "The Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me." But before that, you know, God said to him, in chapter 3, verse 1, "Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your stomach, and fill your body with the scroll which I am giving you." Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. And he said to me, "Son of man, now go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them." And that, where all prophecy begins, not just preparing messages or sharing something clever, but we've heard in this church, if you've been coming here regularly, that we live what God speaks to us and what we read, and then we can speak to others. Jesus says, began to do and teach. And so we have no right to teach, we have no right to share something that I have not eaten and has not borne fruit in my own life, or that is bearing fruit in my life. And so God raised up Ezekiel and all the prophets, and he says there in verse 17, this is a word that speaks to me often every time I read, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me." And most of us, or none of us, may be called to a ministry like Ezekiel, or even have a responsibility to be an elder of any church, but that does not excuse us from being a watchman to someone. God asked Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he replied, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" In Genesis 3, you read that. What an answer. "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" What is the answer to that? "Am I my sister? Are you your sister's keeper?" God has appointed us, every one of us, who are part of the family of God, my brothers and sisters, to be a watchman in the church, not a policeman. There is a difference between a watchman and a policeman. You feel secure and comfortable in the presence of a watchman. You're afraid in the presence of a policeman. We're not called to be policemen. We are called to be watchmen for our brothers and sisters. And that begins in the home and in the family. The strength of this church is families. And the strength of the family is brothers, husbands, fathers who are the head of their home, who can give direction, who can be watchmen for their family. So you see, none of us, and if you're not married, if you're single, brother or sister, you can be a watchman for your best friend, for your close friends. And God asks, "Where is?" And he puts your friend's name there. He says, "I don't know. Am I his keeper? I mind my own business." No, our business is to be a watchman. Our business is to watch over one another and to help and encourage each other. And these are times, my brothers and sisters, that we must be on the alert. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. And if you, anytime when you have some time, take a concordance and look up these words, be on guard or be on the alert. Nearly 15 times it comes in the New Testament. Be on guard, be on the alert. If that was written and that was said 2,000 years ago, how much more today? So what should it be today? The signal should have increased. We are on high alert. We are on red alert. You see what has happened recently on the borders of our country. And spiritually, we are to be watchmen. We are to be on high alert. A watchman is always on the alert. He cannot go to sleep. He's a bad watchman if he goes to sleep. If he neglects his duty and he does not do what he's called to do. And that's why the Holy Spirit, through the Scripture, through Jesus many times, and through the Apostle Paul, calls us to be on the alert. I want you to look at, first of all, 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. A word we have seen many times before. And though it speaks to men, I believe that it's for all of us, men and women. 1 Corinthians 16, you know, Paul writes there in verse 13. It says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. You see that? That's the spirit of a watchman. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, you know, be bold, be courageous. A watchman has to be bold and courageous. And be strong. And then let all that you do be done in love. That's why I say, you feel secure in the presence of a watchman. You are afraid in the presence of a policeman. But God said to Ezekiel, I've appointed you as a watchman in Israel. And God has appointed us as watchmen in the church. He says, when I say to the wicked, if you turn back there, when I say to the wicked that you will die, you don't warn him, I'll require his blood at your hand. And also, when a righteous man goes astray, and you don't warn him, and he dies in his sin, I'll require his blood from your hand. You see the responsibility of a watchman? I am my brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. But everything we do in love. And that's the message that we must come from us. That what we do and what we say, we do in love. I'm not a policeman to knock somebody over the head. I have a responsibility. This is my family. Just like you have a family in the home. You're a watchman there. And you think, no, it's okay. My wife does a good job. I leave it to her. No, my dear brothers and husbands and fathers. God has appointed you as the head of your home to be a watchman, to be vigilant, to be on the alert for your family, to see that they walk in the paths of the Lord. And so, we have this exhortation in the New Testament to be on the alert. It's in times of peace that we sort of let our guard down and we become careless and negligent. When everything goes well, when God prospers us, that's the time that we can get careless, particularly towards sin. We have heard Brother Zach say many times in this church, the more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. He's a military man and he knew that. The more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. So I cannot take it easy just because everything is going well. Spiritually or financially or in every way. I cannot afford to let my guard down. I have to be vigilant. I have to be alert. And what does that mean? That when there is peace, if I don't sweat in peace, I bleed less in war. It simply means this. We know that if I stop warring against my flesh, If I don't continue the battle against my flesh, if I get weary and give up, I will bleed in a crisis. We are called to be constantly on the alert and to battle, to fight against the lusts that come from our flesh. The less we will bleed in war. So I want to share with you, there are, like I said, there are nearly 15 times in the New Testament we are told to be on the alert or to be on guard. I want to share just five things that has come to my own heart and which I believe as a church that we need to take heed to. The first is in Matthew chapter 24, the words of Jesus, Matthew 24. And, you know, this is when they ask Jesus, what's going to be the sign of your coming? When is the end going to be? And all the exhortations to be on the alert and be on guard is in relation to His return again, to His coming again to the earth. All of them. And so, if we want to be ready when Jesus comes, we have to be alert to some of these things. We have to be on guard. And the first thing there that Jesus says in verse 42 of Matthew chapter 24, He says, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Be on the alert because you do not know on which day the Lord is coming. That's from reading from in context of 32. Verse 33. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that He is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be two men in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. And He says there, be on the alert, you do not know which day your Lord is coming. So we have to be on the alert. The watchman has to be on the alert. He does not know when the owner will return. And Peter says that in the last days there will be mockers following after their own lusts who say, where's the promise of His coming? Everything continues as it were. And we think, oh no, there's still something. The Antichrist has not come. A lot of things have to take place. And we can tend to let our guard down. Instead of being on the alert, we become careless, we become negligent. Jesus said, be on the alert. You don't know when the day is going to happen. We don't know. Things can happen also very quickly. And I need to be on the alert, first for myself, for my family, and for one another. It says in verse 48 of Matthew chapter 20, but if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time. Notice there. He doesn't say it in words, but he says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time. And Jesus says, and he begins to become careless, beat his fellow slaves, eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, as at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, assign him in a place with the hypocrites. So, we cannot afford to let our guard down. We need to be on the alert all the time, my brothers and sisters. That is God's call. And Peter said in Luke chapter 12, the parallel passage in verse 45, he said, Lord, are you speaking to us or to everybody else? And Jesus said there, who is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of all things? That is the one who will be on the alert, faithful and sensible. And that is what we are all called to be faithful and sensible. in our time, in the use of our money, in what we speak, the time we spend on many things, to be faithful and sensible. So to be on the alert all the time. We don't know when the Lord is returning. If we want to be ready, we have to be faithful watchmen. We have to be sensible so that we can be on guard all the time. The second thing I want you to see, the second warning there in Luke chapter 12. The first one is an alert against indifference. You know, that we think, yeah, everything, there's still time. It's okay. But we do not know when the Lord will return. To be on the alert against indifference. The second, which I want you to see in Luke chapter 12, is to be on the alert against all covetousness. Every form of greed. Luke chapter 12, Jesus said there, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance, does his life consist of his possessions. And I want you to notice the context there. Here was Jesus speaking some very serious things and giving some serious warnings. And one man who's listening to Jesus, but his mind was somewhere else. His mind was, you know, on his property, his inheritance. His brother was not giving him his rightful share. And he says there, in verse 13, it says there, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Before that, Jesus is talking about serious times. Don't worry what you should speak when you're arrested, when you're brought before the judges. He says, my Father, in verse 12, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to speak. And then, in the midst, can you imagine that? Just imagine it. And there, when he's speaking such serious things, before that, he, in chapter 12, verse 1, he began warning them about hypocrisy, where there was so much hostility. The Pharisees and scribes were so hostile that he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And in the midst of all this, that he's saying, here is one man, his mind is somewhere else. And I don't know where your mind is this morning. On something that's happened in the office, or some problem you're having in the family, or on some property, God forbid. And here's this man. He says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." And then Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." It says in the Living Bible, not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possession. Life is not measured, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own, how much property you have, how much land you have, how much money you have in your bank account. Life is not measured by what you own. We heard earlier about that widow who had only two copper coins, all that she had to live on, and she gave it to Jesus. She gave it to God. And Jesus said she's put in more than everybody else. Everyone gave out of their surplus. So life is not measured by how much we own, by a bank account, or by whether you have a house to live in, or you live in a rented house, or whether you have property or don't have property, whether you have an inheritance for your children. Does not matter one bit. And that's why Jesus said there, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Every form. Greed comes in the guise of discontentment. I'm discontented. Greed comes in the form of worry and anxiety. But Jesus said that, he didn't give a suggestion. He gave a command, do not worry, do not be anxious. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And then in that context, Jesus told them about a certain rich man. This is not a parable. It's a certain rich man, is somebody who really lived. In verses 16 to 21, you don't have time to read it, but I wanted to look at a couple of verses there. And he began telling them, the land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do? Yeah, God blesses us and prospers us. That's no sin. But what I do with it and my attitude, and this man's attitude in verse 19, he says, so you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Yeah, I can have an easy retirement. Enjoy my retirement. Eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, you fool. The first time that God calls somebody a fool, you fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? That's what God said to him. And the Living Bible says, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Verse 21. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life. Are you worried? What are you going to do? How will I manage after I retire? What if I get VRS? What if I get terminated? Do you worry? How will I educate my children? How will I get them married? When we allow such thoughts, we commit a great sin. That's why Jesus said, be on your guard against every form of covetousness. To be discontent. Discontent with your means, what you're earning, the kind of house you live in, that you don't have enough money in the bank, you wish you had more, you compare yourself with others. And discontent always comes when we compare ourselves with others, other families, other brothers, and what they have, what they can give their children. We have to be alert, my dear brothers and sisters, to discontent. That's a form of greed, a form of covetousness. John the Baptist, when he was baptizing people, different people came to him. The tax collectors came to him and they said, what shall we do? He said, bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. And he had something specific to say to them. The soldiers came to him and said, what shall we do? He had something specific. He says, don't take money by force from anybody and be content with your wages. To be content, to teach our children contentment. To be content, I can't afford to buy you that and that brand of shoes or that brand of clothing. This is all I can afford. But then we think, no, we want to keep them happy and this is how I can win them for the Lord. We make a great mistake, my brothers and sisters. We taught our children contentment. We passed clothes on. Right from the eldest to the youngest. We're not ashamed to use clothes that somebody gave us for our children. But we want to give our children rich, new clothes. There's no sin to let them dress well. But to be content and to teach our children contentment, to be alert to this. This is a form of greed that Jesus asked us to be careful about. Warned us to be aware of God. And if you want to be truly wealthy, godliness with contentment is great wealth, it says. That's great profit. That if I'm content and godly, I'm a rich man. You're a rich woman. And I pray that that's what we will really seek for. To first of all learn ourselves and to teach our children to be free from discontent. To be free from worry and anxiety. Jesus said, don't worry, don't be anxious for this reason. He says, it goes on in verse 22 of Luke chapter 12. I say to you, do not worry about your life. Are you worried? What will happen? What is the future in our country? How is it going to go? What about my children? What is the future for them there? I must quickly move them. Ship them off to another country. No harm in sending them to another country for education, for whatever else, for a better job. But if I'm constant unrest because I'm not content with my circumstances, not content with my situation, not content with my lot in life. I opened my life to a lot of sin. I opened my children's lives to a lot of sin. I'll end up contributing to their destruction. Be on the alert, my dear brothers and sisters. What I say to you, we have sought, my wife and I, to live right when we had a one-bedroom house and eight of us lived in that house for 28 years, not for 1 or 2 years, 28 years. We were content. We never looked for a new house. We never dreamt that we would have our own house. But when the Lord provided us, we didn't even want to move there. We were so happy in everything that the Lord provided for us. There were times that we did not have enough money for the next month to pay the fees the next month. And God taught us this, that in all situations we learn to be content. And I want to encourage all of us, brothers and sisters, to learn the secret of being content, of doing with little, and of also when God prospers you, when God gives you much. There's a secret that we have to learn there also, because we can become negligent, we can become extravagant, and that is also a sin. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, make sure, if you turn to that word, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never, never, never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. How many of us really believe that? Be content with what you have. I will never desert you. Three times the Lord says, never, never desert you or forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Or what will man do to me? So we have to take heed that we are on the alert, that our hearts, in Luke chapter 21, our hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. You know, dissipation, drunkenness and worry go together, one family. And Luke chapter 21, verse 34, we read that word again. Be on guard, or be on the alert. Your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness and the worries of life. You know, worry can be such a thing that can weigh your heart down. You feel down all the time. And that day comes on you suddenly like a trap. Do you get drunk with worry and anxiety? My dear brother and sister, are you drunk with worry and anxiety this morning? Over something? Really get rid of it. Leave that baggage here before you go out this morning. It says in the Message Bible, don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled with worry or anxiety. What use is a knife that has lost its sharp edge? That's what happens. We lose our sharpness when we are weighed down with worry and anxiety. And verse 36 of Luke chapter 21, you know, Jesus said, keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Like that song goes, why worry when you can pray? Yes, why worry when you can pray? Whatever it is, we're tempted to worry, we're tempted to get anxious. But one thing that we can all do, and that is pray. And Jesus said, pray that you can escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And the third thing I want to alert ourselves to is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Holy Spirit tells us through Peter, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Be on the alert. There we again are warned to be on the alert, to be of sober spirit. And it says there in verse 8, he says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted and humble in spirit. We talked a few weeks ago about being, it says, all of you be clothed with humility. And it's in relation to that that the Holy Spirit alerts us. Be alert against pride and arrogance. Sorry, it's 1 Peter 5. Sorry. 1 Peter 5. Be of sober spirit, verse 8. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. And it's in context of verse 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. And then it says there, you know, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. And here we have that word again. It's a military word. To be on the alert, to be on guard. That against pride and arrogance. When I'm not willing to humble myself. And particularly when things go well, I become arrogant. I become comfortable. My attitude towards others changes. I'm not the same person I was before when I had little. That should never be, my brothers and sisters. And that's why the Holy Spirit alerts us. Be on the alert. Your adversary prowls about like a roaring lion. He's waiting for someone to devour. He's waiting for somebody to move out of humility. We heard that three secrets of the Christian life is humility, humility, humility. And when I move out from there, then I become prey for the devil. And that's what the Holy Spirit tells us. Your adversary prowls about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Somebody who's become anxious, no, I don't think I should really humble myself. I'm being taken advantage of in my work spot, in the home, in my family. And when the Holy Spirit tells me, cast all your anxiety upon me because I care for you. But we refuse to that. We are not willing to humble ourselves. And that's where we got to be on the alert against pride and arrogance. It's always close at hand, my brothers and sisters. And so let's seek to always be in that place. However well it may go, if God prospers us, all the more we should be on the alert. I am in danger when things go well. When things go well in my home, in my job, with my family, with my children, all the more I should be on the alert against pride and arrogance. And may God really burn that into our spirits, yours and mine, that we would keep ourselves in humility, that we would keep ourselves poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said. Theirs is the kingdom of God. We are poor in spirit, whether we have much or whether we have little. And no matter what our circumstances are, I've learned to be content. And I want to be on the alert against pride and arrogance and conceit that can come into my life. And the fourth thing there I want you to see is in Luke chapter 17. I don't know how many of us take this to heart. It says, be on guard. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. Be on guard, or be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. To forgive. It's quite possible a lot of things can happen. And I think, no, I've forgiven enough. That's the line. But Jesus said, if he comes to you seven a day, 490 times, forgive him, saying, I'm sorry, I repent, forgive him. And what does it convey to us? To be on guard and alert to running out of love. When I run out of love, I come short of forgiveness. If I run out of love, of the love of God, if I am not letting God pour into my heart the love of God through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, I will run out of forgiveness. But if I allow God to go on pouring into my heart His love, love for Him and love for my brothers and sisters, I will never run out of forgiveness. I can come into a place. We heard that. What Brother Zach said, and that spoke to my heart, that I can come to a place where I can find it impossible to hate others. I find it impossible not to forgive somebody. Because the love of God is being poured into my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said there, be on guard and be alert. If your brother sins, rebuke him. We have a responsibility. If he repents, forgive him. And in that context, it speaks about stumbling blocks. It's inevitable that stumbling blocks come. You know, that people will cause others to sin. And particularly in relation to children. We stumble children if we have an unforgiving spirit. I hope we husbands and wives take that to heart. All our differences and whatever conflict may come up in the house, I trust that it's never in front of our children. We make them insecure. I trust too that they will see us mothers and fathers that we are quick to ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry, please forgive me. We're giving them, they're seeing something. Don't blame them if they find it difficult to forgive others who do them some harm in school. I'm to blame. I've not taught them to forgive. I've not taught them to love others no matter what they may do to you. But I can't speak to them something that is not true in my own life. They must see mommy and daddy. Yeah, they're quick to ask for forgiveness. And daddy is the first one who asks for forgiveness. We heard that too as the head of the home. That's my responsibility to say, I'm sorry. I should have known better. Please forgive me. Oh, if we can cultivate that in our homes, my brothers and sisters, to be on the alert against running short of forgiveness because we have come short of letting God pour His love into our hearts. In everything that we do, particularly in the home, like I said, the strength of this church is the family, the home. And the strength of the family and the home is the head of the home. So to take that to heart, that we do not put a stumbling block in the way of our children, in the way we live, in the way we speak. And that goes also for those who are not married, young brothers and sisters, in your speech, your conduct, the way you give respect, whether you are a man under authority, whether you're a woman under authority, that you're not a stumbling block to the younger generation. May we really take that to heart. And Jesus said, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, Matthew 18 verse 10. For I say to you that the angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And so we help, we seek to be starting blocks for our children, not stumbling blocks. You know, in a race, they have starting blocks so that they can get a good start. And we need that all the time. Never to be a stumbling block. Never to stumble the children. Never to stumble the children of the church in the way we conduct ourselves. And all of us have a responsibility to be on guard and to be on the alert there against running out of love and coming short of forgiveness. If somebody says, I'm sorry, I repent, and may I come to you dozens of times, Jesus said, forgive him. How much have you been forgiven? How much have I been forgiven? How many times? And God says, no, that's enough. I think I've forgiven you far too many times. Now I'm going to punish you. Oh, may the Lord pour into your heart and mind more and more in these last days the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, I want you to see in Acts chapter 28. Not only are we on guard and alert for our brothers, for one another, we are should be on guard and alert for ourselves. Matthew, Acts chapter 20, in verse 28 to 32, Paul says there, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. To be on the alert for ourselves, that I never stop being a shepherd. We don't have to be an elder. We don't have to have a responsibility. All of us. If you're part of the family of God, God has called you to be a watchman. God has called you to be a shepherd, my dear brother and sister. However inexperienced you may be. And Jeremiah says, God got hold of Jeremiah's life when he was a young man. He chose him from his mother's womb. And God called him to be a watchman and a shepherd, just like Ezekiel. God has called us to be watchmen and shepherds, every one of us. And I like this word in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 16. I made this my prayer. I said to the Lord, Lord, I never want to run away from being a shepherd. Who runs away? The shepherd, when he sees the wolf coming, is a hireling. No matter what the condition of the flock, I never want to run away from being a shepherd. That is my desire before God. That is my prayer, and I pray that that will be your prayer. Whatever you may see, whatever the failures and the faults and the weaknesses of the brothers and sisters around you, never run away from being a shepherd. It says in the Amplified Bible, I have not tried to escape from being a shepherd walking after you. Did Jesus run away? Did he give up on us? Did he give up on those 11 disciples? He thought, you know, they all forsook him and fled. Did he say to them, I'm done with you, it's okay. I'll go alone. Unfortunately, that was how it was with Paul. No one stood with me, he says. All have deserted me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And so to be on guard for ourselves, my brothers and sisters, to be on the alert. Paul says, remembering night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And he speaks how he served the Lord with humility and with tears and trials. I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Verse 20. In verse 20 says, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. And like we began with that word in 1 Corinthians 16, the Holy Spirit calls us as a church, calls every one of us who are part of God's family, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. May God really raise up in this church watchmen and shepherds who would care for the flock in these last days. Like I said in the beginning, if 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, be on the alert. The Holy Spirit called the church to be on the alert. How much more today as we come to the end of time? It is a red alert, my brothers and sisters. The coming of Jesus is near. He's right at the door. So let's be on the alert and really for ourselves and for each other. And may God pour His love into our hearts that everything we do and say will be in kindness and love. Amen.